one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to the Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza number 8 pay-per-view post-show here on RantEMRadio.com. The Impact Player Philly Ray hanging out with you guys. It is now officially October, Rocktober around these parts. And boy, what a pay-per-view it was. I lost Junior after like the last two matches. He fell asleep on me, but had a good time nonetheless. Ring of Honor definitely delivered tonight. Want to again thank my pal Kid Human for an awesome pre-show with me tonight. He will not be joining us. He didn't see the pay-per-view, so no problem, Kid Human. You guys want to join us? If you saw it, give us a call, 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394, or add us on Skype, more one word, Throwbacks and Awfulness. So, Ring of Honor did not disappoint. Came correct. I got to tell you, I was a bit worried. I should have said this in the pre-show, but I was a bit worried that some of the fillers were going to take away from the last two matches, the main events of the night, and that didn't happen. Everybody delivered. Everybody came correct. Fantastic. Well, let's get right into it. And the first match of the evening was the television title match between Donovan Dijak and Bobby Fish. You know, Dijak is definitely up and coming. He is definitely going to turn some heads. He definitely came into his own. I think he gave Bobby Fish a really good fight tonight. My only issue with him is I think he gets lost in transition a little bit. I think he is trying way too hard to get his spots on, and I saw him miss a couple times, but that's just rookie stuff. And, you know, now he's in the ring with upper echelon talent. He's not in these little tournaments no more, and he's fighting the big dogs, and now he's getting a taste of what it really is like to really wrestle in Ring of Honor. So he gets a title shot tonight against Bobby Fish. And he had Bobby Fish on the ropes a few times, but the Elder Statesman, man, Bobby Fish, always resourceful. Always resourceful. He came out and countered a bunch of moves, had a bunch of submissions locked in, couldn't get him quite in. Now, Dijak's a big boy. In comparison, he's got like 5 inches on Bobby Fish. And Fish was able to finally choke him out, and it took him a minute to get the big man down, but he got it. And I don't think Dijak wanted to tap out. I think the referee stopped the match. The dude was out cold. Bobby Fish got him locked in there. Once he hooked the underarm under the neck, once he laid down and got his arm, got his leg across the arm, and then he finally got down onto his back, that was a wrap. So Bobby Fish retains the World Television Championship. And again, Donovan Dijak is definitely going to be somebody up and coming. He's definitely going to be a guy that you're going to see in the future, hopefully with a belt sooner or later. He's got some seasoning to do. He's definitely got some seasoning to do. He's not quite there yet, as they say. Let's see here. All right, Just checking the social media pages. I plugged all the stuff here. Yep, Nick German Suplexes said, what a pay-per-view. It was a what a pay-per-view. You want to call in, Nick? 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. Or Skype, Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. Definitely call in. You want to talk about the pay-per-view? You want to talk a little Ring of Honor? Really good pay-per-view tonight. Let's see here. Let me get back to my list. All right, let's get back to the list here. We're also on Ustream, guys. Ustream.tv/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Broadcasting live. You can see my ugly fotch. Unshaven WWE t-shirt. Marking out. No, I'm joking. I'm not marking out. Just being silly. Okay. All right. Your next match was the Four Corners match for the number one contendership of the World Tag Team Championship. It was a decent match. It was the Cabinet, All Night Express with Caprice Coleman. Shane Taylor and Keith Lee, who really impressed me tonight, man. They held their own with those two big dudes. War Machine, and of course, Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana. Listen, in matches like this, it's really hard to, you know, especially if you're a tag team, it's really hard to get your moves off in a timely fashion. Guys, everybody wants to get in there. Everybody wants to get there, you know, get their spots on, and, you know, everybody wants to get their thing in. But I got to tell you, these four teams compensated themselves well, as we expected. Hanson and Rowe and Lee and Taylor canceled themselves out. But Lee was these guys over 350 pounds. I mean, even 400 pounds. One guy just did a plancha. It was crazy. Of course, Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana, hysterical in the ring together. Perfect match. These guys were made to be a tag team. I hope they keep them a tag team. They won the match. And I got to tell you, man, it was fun. They need to be a tag team. You know, if they don't give Dalton Castle a singles run, they should give him definitely a tag team title shot. And we'll get into the tag team championship match, which was the main event in a little while. But you got to know that, like I mentioned in the pre-show, man, the tag team division is tight, super tight. There's going to be a ton of guys, ton of teams, I should say, gunning for the tag team championship. And these four teams all brought their A game, man. All brought their A game. I do like Dalton Castle in that tag team situation, though. You know, not to say he's not a great singles wrestler, because he's coming into his own as well. I just, tonight solidified me as him being a definite contender for a tag team championship, no doubt. And I'm glad Colt Cabana is back in the fold. And you know what? With all the crap going on with Cabana and Chicago made Punk, Let me just say this, and I'll be brief, because I don't want to, you know, get away from the pay per view. But if there is a beef between Colt Cabana and CM Punk, you know, I still don't know why, but at least Colt Cabana is still working. You know, at least he's doing his thing, and he's ultimate DIY, man. Ultimate DIY, the guy. You know, started the podcast. It's an amazing podcast. One of the best podcasts out there. It got me into podcasting. He also DIY'd a shirt gimmick that turned into a multi-million dollar t-shirt company. And who we have t-shirts with. Cheap plug, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Cheap plug. But they started doing the independent wrestling t-shirts, and now they're all over the place, man. And now they're international, you know. So I mean, the guy is ultimate DIY. He's punk rock. Even if the beef with him and Punk is his fault, I don't care. I will support Colt Cabana 100%. I think he's solid. Met him in person a few times. Really cool dude. Super approachable. And should have been on TV a long time ago. So if he's back in Ring of Honor, if he's getting title shots, if he's getting tag team title shots, all the power to him. All the power to him. You guys want to call in? 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. And Skype is Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. Don't be shy. Talk some Ring of Honor. I know a bunch of you guys saw it. I want to hear from you guys. How did you feel tonight? What were your expectations? Are you excited about the next couple of weeks? Are you excited about Final Battle coming to New York City, which I'll be at, and I'll talk about that later on. But, I mean, you have to know that tonight sets the tone for the rest of the year, which I thought was going to happen anyway. But, you know, again, it's just Ring of Honor doing their thing. And you know, listen, they normally don't do, you know, really bad pay-per-views, you know. However, a lot of it's repetition. A lot of it's the same shit. Seasoned in with some new stuff, which is cool. I like a lot of the up-and-coming guys now, so you're not, you know, inundated with the nonsense, which is cool too. And just, you know, really, really good stuff. All right, let's get into the next match, which is a rematch from CMLL. We talked about this earlier. It was Kamitachi, who is the he is the six-man partner of the Addiction in the six-man tag team tournament this year. And taking on Dragon Lee, and this delivered. Everything that was said in the pre-show, total. This actually could have opened it, the night, to the TV title match. They should have swapped the first match with the third match. I'm not saying Bobby Fish and Dijak didn't, you know, set the tone for the rest of the night, but Dragon Lee and Kamitachi definitely would have set the tone. Real old school lucha feel, ECW, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero type stuff. Ultimo Dragon, a lot of emotion stirred up. A lot of old school emotions for me, and me and the kid marked out so bad for this. So funny, like oohs and ahs and oohs and ahs and. After 1700 spot, hold on. Excuse me. After 1,700 spots of, you know, kicking out in two counts, Lee finally, there was one or two Phoenix drives. He finally hit one final Phoenix drive to get Kamitachi. But this one, he really, like, these guys throw their moves, and they don't finish them or it doesn't look convincing enough. This looked convincing enough. So Dragon Lee hits Kamitachi with the Dragon, on the Phoenix drive. And wins that match, and that was cool. Now, you know, you're three matches in, and now your adrenaline's pumping, and I went and got a snack, and the kid's like marking out, everybody's bugging out. Now, like, you know, this you got to ride this wave. You got to finish the friggin' match. I mean, the card, now you're hopping. So your next match was a real barn burner. Kyle O'Reilly, one half of Red Dragon with Bobby Fish, facing one of the newest members of the Bullet Club, Hangman Page, who's gotten a label about him that he's now the enforcer of this new Bullet Club faction. He's the guy that's going to take out future opponents for any champion that's in the Bullet Club at this point. It'd be Adam Cole. Kyle O'Reilly, obviously a threat to the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship. He was former partners with with Adam Cole, so that makes it even more dangerous. And we spoke about Adam Cole's problems now as the world champion. He's got a ton of guys after him. Sorry, I keep yawning. I apologize. I'm exhausted. But, you know, we talked about Adam Cole and his problems. Not that we were overlooking Michael Elgin tonight, but now it is the heavyweight championship picture is getting tighter and tighter. A lot of guys are out there gunning for the belt. Kyle O'Reilly being no different. Him and Paige had one hell of a match. Paige just looking to take out Kyle O'Reilly. Like, not even at this point he didn't even try to get a win. He tried to hurt Kyle O'Reilly. And O'Reilly wound up winning with an armbar submission. Typical Kyle O'Reilly finish. But Paige was not finished. And he continued to beat on Kyle O'Reilly until he was saved by his partner, Bobby Fish. So, you know, this is going to lead to some Bullet Club Red Dragon type shit. You know Kyle O'Reilly is in line for a title shot. You know that I can't wait now for the next episode or the TV tapings tomorrow night. And I just can't wait until Final Battle to be insane. Take a sip of my hipster soda that I got from the Whole Foods. So, anyway, let's hear from you guys. 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394, or Skype, Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. Let's keep this train moving. Your next match was one of the first matches in the Ring of Honor 6-Man Tag Team Championship Tournament. Jay White, Kushida from the Time Splitters, and ACH, or Super ACH as he's called in Japan, taking on the team of the Briscoes and Toriano, who the Briscoes are the current IWGP Tag Team Champions. Yano was one half of the GHC NOAH World Tag Team Champions. No strangers to championships in this particular match. The younger team did get the Briscoes and Yano. A lot of spots in this match. The Jay White kid is growing on me. You know, Kushida always delivers, and so does ACH. But I was looking for Jay White specifically. And, you know, Yano does his shtick and does his gimmicks. And you know, not for nothing. You know, as funny as he is, he's like the Santino of New Japan and NOAH. As funny as he is, the dude can wrestle. He got some spots on tonight. He's quick for a guy his size. And, you know, he did a couple of his gimmicks, took the ring, the turnbuckle off the post to expose it. You know, he got a couple of moves in. He was really good with the hot tags, too, with the Briscoes. You know, again, 6-man tag teams are a lost art. I'm glad Ring of Honor is bringing it back. I hope they make it interesting. I hope there's enough interest in it to keep these guys going. Because, you know what, let's be honest, you know, it's when you have, you know, pro wrestling in compared to sports entertainment, it's kind of hard to sell the 6-man tag team championship when you have just wrestlers. You have personalities, but, you know, it's a hard sell, the 6-man tag team championship, which is why it hasn't been instituted in so long. It's why it faded away with the territories, you know. And back in the day, you had you know, teams that were established, and then you had teams that were brought together by circumstance, this being no different. But that don't take away from the fact that Briscoes and Yano are still champions in their own right. So let's see what White, Kushida, and ACH, how far they get in this tournament. If you saw the brackets, you know, Matt Taven's bringing the Kingdom back. Unknown members at this point. The Bullet Club is in it. The Addiction is in it with Kamitachi. I mean, you got a lot of good teams in there, man, still. So it's going to be fun, you know. It's going to be fun. And then they did a segment with Silas Young saying that Ring of Honor couldn't get him a third person for their tag team with the beer guy. And so now he's calling He wants a title shot from the winner of Elgin and Cole. And the crowd marks out for that and goes crazy. Good crowd tonight in Lowell, Massachusetts. Good crowd. They're a smart crowd. Especially the Pop Badijak, who's a... He's from Worcester, Mass. So he's right from down the road over there in Western Massachusetts. So shout out to the crowd. They were really into it tonight. And I like when the crowd's into it. It makes these kind of pay-per-views, you know, better because it's more of a intimate atmosphere when the smaller crowds are popping and chants are going, and you know, it's not a bad deal, you know. So shout out to the crowd tonight. Just give them some love. All right. So you guys want to call in? I'm almost done here. 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. And let's get right back into it. Now, we know the beef between Jay Lethal and Naito. And Naito is bringing evil down with him. And hold on a second. Sorry about that. The current IWGP Intercontinental Champion, Naito. So much swag this kid's got. Now, I was telling guys in the pre-show how much I liked him. But him and Lethal had a good match. It wasn't terrible. Wasn't the best match I've seen from Lethal either. You know, they got their moves on. Naito is just a well-rounded guy. You know, he's just... Again, I told people this almost 2 years ago. He was going to be the man. Now, like I said before, didn't expect him to be a heel, but listen, either way, I'll take it. I called it. Good stuff all around. Pretty good stuff. I enjoyed this match a lot. There was a, you know, Lethal got a couple of his setups, but they didn't come off as convincing. Naito countered a bunch of times. Finally, Jay Lethal gets a good Lethal injection. Like, he took the bounce off the ropes and dug into that when he grabbed him and came down with him. Like, you know, if anybody doesn't know what the Lethal injection is, it's a flip off the ropes and then into an RKO, pretty much. So, but it was very, very convincing. It was a very, very good finish. And it was pretty dope. So Jay Lethal defeats Naito. Hopefully he can move on from that and work on something else, because the feud's going on a little too long for my taste anyway. Unless they're going back to Japan. So if they're going back to Japan, then, you know, all the power to you. All right, let's keep this train moving. I'm going through these matches because I really have nobody else to talk to. I don't even know if anybody's listening at this point. But it's all good. Doing the rant to service, what I like to do anyway. Take care of my family, my Rant EM family, my Ring of Honor peeps. Glad to be the spokesperson for Ring of Honor on a rant. It's cool, you know. I'm glad I still watch it. I'm glad I keep up with it. And I'm glad I bought this pay-per-view tonight. So, all right. Let's get right into the co-main event. The Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship, currently held by Adam Cole, Bebe. Bullet Club member Adam Cole taking on Unbreakable Michael Elgin. My kid pointed something out to me tonight. He was like, hey, you know, Michael Elgin looked like he lost weight. And he's a dumpy guy to begin with. I took a look at him. He did shed some pounds. He looks fantastic. And, you know, again, Michael Elgin was always a stocked, stout, pudgy little dude. But he's powerful. He probably bench presses 1,000 pounds. He's a straight-up beast. And he came correct. He hit a couple of finishing moves and could not get Adam Cole. He tried so hard. He had the Elgin Bomb and a couple of Enziguris. Like, he just he was the first 5 minutes of the match, he dominated. And then Adam Cole finally got his composure, lowered the pace a bit, and slowed it down to the point where he meticulously got to Michael Elgin. He hit a last shot finisher, and Michael Elgin kicked out of that. And then a super kick, then two Shining Wizards. Now, the first Shining Wizard he hit was not very good. So I think to redeem himself, while Elgin was still getting up to getting his composure, Cole hit it again. Which now sets up for a really good version of the last shot. A lot of finishes tonight didn't come off till the second or third try. So, you know, and again, that's the one of the things that people don't like Ring of Honor about, you know, 4,000 kickouts. And guys hitting finishes and not getting the pin and stuff like that. But sometimes the pace of the match dictates the way the finishes come off. And tonight, some of the guys just did not bring that game with them. You know, they had their finishes, but they had to do them again. Or like the Shining Wizard, he did it again. And again, taking nothing away from these guys. They're talented. But, you know, once in a while, if you're going to be, listen, my beef is this. If you're gonna be in this, I don't know how to say this, but if you're going to be in this atmosphere, if you're going to be wrestling for a promotion like this that does this on the regular, then you might want to just make sure that the guy you're fighting is on the same level as you are. And what I mean by that is just, you know, make sure you guys have a plan coming in. Not just talk to each other in the ring, setting spots up. Let them know, hey, listen, man, I want to try this twice. See how it goes. You know, don't just do it for the sake of doing it and then go right back to it and then expect the fans to be like, ooh and ah. Because the fans, these fans were smart, man. Smart cookies. They knew that something wasn't right about that. But either way, Adam Cole, he was pretty, again, low. He slowed the pace down immensely. And he wound up hitting that last shot for the win to retain the title. And it was so refreshing. Because I didn't think Adam Cole was gonna drop the belt. You know? I really didn't. And I really didn't think that Michael Elgin was going to win the belt and come back here full-time because he's doing so well in New Japan, which is better for him anyway. So, well, it's been 30 minutes, and there's no one else to talk to, so I'm going to hit you with your main event. Your main event was Ladder War 6 for the World Tag Team Championship. The Motor City Machine Guns, the Young Bucks taking on the champions, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels, The Addiction. And this match was exactly what they say it was. It was a war. These guys put their bodies on the line. Insane spots. My only beef with this match was I thought the Motor City Machine Guns did not bring enough to the game. I mean, Kazarian and Daniels, they got cut. They were cut for real. They kayfabe some of it. But, like, I know at one point, Daniels was bleeding, like, you know, but he meant to bleed. But then he caught an eye jammy, and it split his eye. So he was crimson masked from, like, the first 10 minutes in. Kazarian took a shot in the back of the head, and he had a big, nice little gash in the back of his head, so he was bleeding, you know. the Young Bucks didn't bleed, but they had a – I know for a – Nick Jackson had some cuts under his armpit. Like, they were using so many tables were broken. They at one point, they had Daniels sandwiched. Well, Steve Carino called it a panini, but they had Daniels in between the ladder and just killing him. Like, they put their bodies on the line tonight, man. There was one spot. I mean, this was crazy. It was outside the ring, and there was one young buck. He was on a table with one of the guys from, I think it was Kazarian. He had him up for a pile driver, and then the other buck jumped from the ladder out to outside to spike pile drive him. It was crazy. Lots of super kicks, obviously. Steve Carino couldn't call them all. He lost his edge. Couldn't scream super kick no more. It was crazy, man. It was crazy. The end of the match was even crazier. So, Kazarian gets knocked out. The Motor City Machine Guns get taken out. Christopher Daniels comes back in. He's bloody. He tried so hard to get back into this match. The Addiction worked their asses off tonight. They were amazing. Okay? But the Young Bucks did. So Matt Jackson had one of the other. I think it was was it one of the guns? No, it was definitely one of the Addictions. Had him for a tombstone pile driver in the corner, but with a table. The other Jackson was on the ladder with the tag team titles in his hand. Instead of taking the titles, he jumps from the top of the cage and then spike pile drives their opponent through the table. Then goes back on the ladder, and then, of course, now Daniels – it was Kazarian. So Daniels makes his way back and tries to fight. He gets kicked, and – you know, the Jackson's finally, he's climbing the ladder. Now he's grabbing a belt. He can't get the belt. He's on top of the ladder. He's got his hands on the belt. He can't get it open. The other Jackson has to jump on the ladder with him, and they untangle the belts. And your winners, and now two-time World Tag Team Champion, the Young Bucks. The argument, listen, you could talk about the Bucks all you want. They're spot monkeys, they're this, they're that, they're no good. Let me tell you something. This match was so good and so entertaining. There was interference by Kamatachi. There was interference, and then he on behalf of the Addiction. And then Jay White came out to stop that, and he got put to a table. Kamatachi got put to a table. It was an all-out war. And the Addiction with the MVPs, and they lost. It's like, you know, it was like a great goalie on a losing Stanley Cup team winning the MVP. That was the Daniels and Kazarian. Daniels was in the ring crying with Kazarian. It was that emotional. So the Bucks, new tag team champions, your number one contenders now are Dalton Castle and Cole Cabana. I expect the Addiction to get a tag team title shot. Motor City Machine Guns did dick in this match. They didn't do enough. Okay, they got a couple of spots on, but like not. I mean, they were very reserved. And if you're gonna have a match like this, and you've only had six of them in the 15-year existence of the Fed, you might want to be a little more correct. You might want to come correct, boys. So. Well, with that being said, that's the pay-per-view in under 40 minutes. I apologize. I have nobody to talk to. So unless there's somebody who wants to call in real quick, 718-878-6394, 718-878-6394. While we're doing that, let's plug the network stuff. Your first ever prank call special is going to air live next Tuesday at 10 p.m. after the rant. Coverage for WWE No Mercy on October 9th at 7 p.m. Don't forget, tomorrow night, you have the Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. Will I Am Morgan. Let's play some music here. Let's do that. Let's play some Dalton Castle. So, and tomorrow, like I said, Will Morgan, Big Tone, hopefully Hightower. Sunday, you have the Silver Surfer with the What Are You Reading comic book show. He'll try to keep you interested by himself. I don't know about that. Then, like I said, Tuesday is the rant, 8 p.m. with Tony C and Double A. Hopefully Double A. He might have somewhere to be. And then you have the prank call special will air at that point after the rant. Wednesday, new episode of Thumbstick Ninjas with my main man Rob Domingo and his crew. Thursday, you have Rant and Wrestling with Mofo, Doomsday, and Pootie Tang. Sadate. And then, of course, it's October. That means it's Rocktober for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Myself and the Kid Yuma will be back at regular time at 9 p.m. Okay? Don't forget, go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com to check out all their shows. We got a really good lineup over there besides ourselves. We have Neckbreaker, we have Stranger in a Southern Land, The Inclusive Breakdown, and now The Pat Buck Show, and My Unconventional Life with Ring of Honor matchmaker Nigel McGuinness, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Don't forget, go on Twitter, go on iTunes, leave a review for all the shows, all the networks. It's really appreciated. It gives us exposure. And it gives us a good rating in the podcast world. So, I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight in the pre-show. And nobody to thank on the post-show because nobody came on. But that's pretty much it, man. Bid you guys farewell. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And next time you're going to have coverage for Ring of Honor will be December 2nd for Final Battle. It'll be a pre-recorded pre-show because I'll be at the show. And that's pretty much it. You guys have a great rest of your week. And I'm out of here. Good night.